I would like to invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 10. Tonight we will look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42, and so I'll close out the chapter. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 40. Beloved, before we hear God's word, please join your hearts together with me in prayer once again. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, your reign extends to all ages and to all lands. We pray, Father, tonight, as your word is read this evening, as the gospel of grace is proclaimed, we pray, Father, that you would teach us to let Jesus Christ reign all the more in our hearts and in our lives. We pray, Father, that you would draw your people to yourself through the gospel and draw lost sinners to yourself through the proclamation of the good news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 40. Beloved, this is the word of God. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the word of God. At the end of this speech to his disciples, Jesus gives an emphatic promise. Verse 42, whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Not only are these the words of promise coming from the King of the Kingdom and the Lord of the harvest to his disciples, Jesus adds this, truly I say to you. In other words, it is an impossibility by divine power that one who serves one of Christ's disciples, such as the ones who were being spoken to here, it is an impossibility that one who serves one of Christ's disciples with the smallest token of provision in this life, a cup of water, which doesn't require much, it is an impossibility that this person will lose his reward. That's the promise. Three times Jesus mentions reward here. Reward. All throughout this speech, we have heard Jesus talk about what the disciples could expect to receive from the unbelieving world. They were being sent out to preach from the rooftops. And what could they expect as a reward from the world that they were being sent into? What was the payment that the unbelieving world would give them, the Jews included? Well, they would return this service with persecution, killing the body, flogging in synagogues. They would be brought to the court, brought before magistrates, accused of wrongdoing. And what would the gospel do among families at this time? What was the so-called reward from the unbelieving members of families at this time? Well, Jesus said, a person's enemies will be in his own household. And so again, we come back to that theme of the fact that the gospel simultaneously unites and divides. It simultaneously bonds people together while separating all the others. Now, what is it that the disciples of Jesus at the end of their suffering can expect to receive from God, though? They know what to expect from the world, mostly, primarily. It is persecution, rejection, and all the like. But what can the disciples at the end of this suffering expect to receive from God, though? Well, in a word, eternal life. That is the reward. Eternal life. Being acknowledged by Jesus before the Father. Enjoying eternal glory in body and soul with the Father and the Son and the fellowship of the Spirit forever. That is the reward. That is eternal life. That is what we can look forward to. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you on my account, for your reward is great in heaven." Now, the disciples, these 12 disciples to whom he's speaking here, the faithful ones, they would especially need to keep this in mind as they preach the gospel, as they proclaim the gospel again from the rooftops. Because they in particular would be severely mistreated, these disciples. And as they suffered and were persecuted by unbelief in the world, they would need help. They were being sent out to preach, but they would need help from other people, from other believers. Initially here, it would be Jewish believers, the lost sheep of Israel. That is who they were being sent to. Go among the lost sheep of Israel, Jesus says, and bring them in, proclaim, perform miracles, and all of that. So that is who is in view here when Jesus says, whoever receives you, the one who receives a prophet, the one who receives a righteous person. That is initially who is in view here, these believing Jewish families that would hear the gospel from these disciples and receive them. They also would get a reward. Now, receiving means here welcoming and providing. And that is why Jesus mentions giving water. These men here who were listening to Jesus would be traveling prophets. They would be traveling, declaring the gospel among the cities in Israel. And Jesus told them as they went, do not take gold or silver. You don't need two tunics. A laborer deserves his wages, is what he said. And so they were to depend upon the free giving of the Jewish family that they were ministering to. And so those things necessary for living would be provided by the people that Jesus mentions here. Who would actually give them a coat if they needed it, a tunic? Who would actually give them the wages they needed to live as they preach the gospel? It's these people right here. Whoever receives you, whoever receives a prophet. These Jewish families that received the disciples, as they received them, they would provide the needs for the traveling preachers. They would give them a cup of cold water. Now, of course, receiving is more than just providing and welcoming. It's more than just that. It's more than just having these men come into their homes and giving them what they need. These actions are taken because these families receive by faith the message that they bring. They hear the message. They believe. They believe in the Messiah. And they recognize that these ones are sent by the Messiah. And so they provide for their needs. And so it's more than just physical provision that they're giving, though that's part of it. It's spiritual, internal faith. That's what receiving means. These preachers say to them, take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow Christ with us. And these families and individuals respond with faith. They say, yes. They say, I will do that. I will bear my cross daily for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. I believe in this gospel. I will lose my life for the sake of Christ. And so that's what it means to receive. And as an outworking of that reception of the gospel, they provide for Christ's ministers, Christ's disciples. Now, this exchange here, this receiving and giving, provide, receiving and providing, this exchange is all well and good until those who receive the gospel and the preachers of the gospel come to find out that and experience that what the disciples would find out and experience. And what would that be? Well, whoever received the prophet and provided for them would also come to find out that the same way in which the disciples were persecuted, they too would be persecuted, or could be. Because they received this message and received the disciples, those who hate that message associate these families who are helping the disciples as part of Christ's household. And if they called Christ Beelzebul, how much more then will they malign you? And so it's all well and good in the beginning to provide and to receive. But when these families recognize that could perhaps bring persecution upon them. They may think differently. What do you think that they will do with the people who give these same disciples cups of water and housing? Well, they will associate them with the disciples, and they will persecute them, or they could persecute them. Now, if the unbelieving world rendered the givers of water to the disciples as guilty by association, they would be right. They were right in assuming that they had committed themselves to the cause of Jesus. Those who receive the disciples and their message are just, in fact, that. They are part of Christ's household. And yes, we very well may be persecuted for our faith by attaching ourselves to this message and by giving up of our resources to see that this message is carried forth. We may very well receive the same type of heat that these disciples felt and that people in our age still feel. Nevertheless, though, that suffering is evidence that you belong to Christ, that you are part of His household. Whoever receives you receives me. And because Jesus was sent, like the disciples were sent, whoever receives Jesus receives the Father. You see how that works? The implication of this teaching is that the homes that welcome the disciples with cups of cold water, with living, active faith, the homes who welcome these disciples as they preach and their fellowship and service of these men, they were having fellowship with God. That's what that means. As they received these men in, helped them, they were having fellowship with the God who sent them. That is how this works. They were having fellowship with God in a way through them. Now, why? Because these men were divine or because they were supernatural mediators? No. It is because they carried and proclaimed the gospel, God's word. That's why. If these disciples showed up without the word, there would be no fellowship. There would be no fellowship with the Messiah. There would be no fellowship with God who sent the Messiah. It is because they carry the word, they preach the word, that all those who support that ministry have fellowship with the Savior who's revealed in that word. Do you see that? And so this is what is true for all those who receive the message of the gospel by faith and support this work. In their proclamation of the gospel, Christ was proclaimed. By receiving the gospel by faith, these families receive Christ, who is the only mediator between God and man. These disciples were not mediators. They carried the message and delivered the message that pointed the people to the only mediator. By receiving Christ by faith, the families received the Father and have fellowship with Him, which really is the reward. That's the reward, ultimately, is to have fellowship with the Lord through Christ. And it's a reward that Jesus says can never be lost. He will by no means lose His reward. You will by no means lose eternal life if you receive the gospel by faith. If you decide by faith to bear your cross, to take it up daily and to die for Christ's account, on Christ's account, you will by no means lose your reward. Now, this is something the disciples would need to remember themselves and something they could echo in their teaching to the lost sheep of Israel as they go and proclaim these things. Those who by faith serve the church, Christ's household, in love, will inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. There is a reward waiting for you, for all those who would commit to this cause, would commit themselves to this work. Remember when Jesus said this, He said, "I was thirsty and you gave me, Jesus, a drink." When we give a cup of cold water to one of the disciples in need of water, we give Christ Himself a drink. And so you can see now here how fellowship with the church, fellowship with other believers, reception of the gospel is tied to, is connected to, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. The two cannot be separated. The two should not be separated. That's something of the point here. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. And so where do we want to serve? That is the question we have to ask. Where do we want to put our resources? Where do we want to put all of our giftings toward? It should be this: serving the kingdom of God, serving the people of God. Now, notice how the reward for those who receive the prophets, preachers, is essentially the same as the prophets themselves. Those who receive a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. To put it another way, as we serve one another in love by faith, whether it be a preacher, pastor, elder, deacon, whether it be another righteous person as mentioned here, a non-ordained person in the church, whoever it may be, the little ones, he calls his disciples the little ones, almost like they're children. Why does he refer to them like this? Because they are dependent. They're going out as children. They're not taking two tunics. They're not taking gold or silver. They're fully dependent on the people that they serve. And so they're little ones. They're weak. They need protection. This is who these disciples are. Whoever serves one another in love, each other, we are all little ones. As we serve one another in love, because of our total dependence upon Christ, in this way, again, we are all little ones. Whoever serves one another's needs in this way, what we do then is we put ourselves in their place. We put ourselves in their suffering. We place ourselves as if we are feeling their grief. We grieve with those who grieve. We place ourselves right in the middle of their needs and take those needs upon ourselves. We assume part of their needs to ourselves, making it our responsibility. And friends, this is what defines us as Christians, and as those who are certain to receive a heavenly reward. This is what sets us apart. Our service to one another, giving cups of cold water to others in the church, in the kingdom, to those who need it. At the end of this long road of suffering, friends, just like Jesus, after he suffered and was raised from the dead, he received the kingdom and returned to the Father. At the end of this long road of suffering, we can expect a reward from him. Now, why did this happen to Jesus after his time on earth? Well, Jesus received a reward after his time on earth from the Father because Jesus stood in our place on the cross. He assumed our human nature, yet without sin, and he assumed our guilt. He assumed our spiritual needs. He assumed our need for the forgiveness of sins, even though he never sinned. He took our need and he put it upon himself, standing in our place, and he provided for us at the cross. And so it only makes sense, if you think about this, for those who have received this Christ, if you have received this message that is being preached tonight by faith, you have received Christ. For those who have received Christ, the Christ who stood in your place to meet your needs, it only makes sense that we would do the same for one another. Does it not? It would only make sense to show the world and to show each other that we belong to him, that when we see one of our brothers and sisters in need, we would do the exact same thing as far as we are able. Stand in their place. Assume their suffering. Put yourself in their shoes. It's so easy to dismiss people. It's so easy to do this as Christians. We all suffer. We all work. We all are busy. We have stuff to do day and night. We hear of suffering and it's just so easy. I can't deal with that right now. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to step in their place as far as we are able, to step in their shoes, to feel their grief, to feel their suffering, and if possible, to meet their needs, to give them a cup of water. And so in union with Jesus Christ, friends, as we suffer for one another, as we stand in one another's place, which means we will suffer. And that's why we dismiss other people's suffering, because if we know, it's because we know that if we step into their shoes and we truly feel their suffering and truly take on the responsibility to help them, we know that we will suffer. That's why we dismiss it. We don't want to suffer. But that is what we've been called to do. We will suffer for this. But remember, you will by no means lose your reward. There is a heavenly reward waiting for you if we do this. If we stand in union with Jesus Christ, suffer for one another, stand in one another's place, which means we will suffer, let us remember the heavenly reward that Jesus promises every believer here. To Christ be all praise and glory, now and forevermore.